How do you know if you are in relationship with a narcissist and your fears are used against you? Narcissists can be very charming, at least when they want to be. A lot of times they're going to listen to every word you have to say, and they're going to file away any vulnerabilities you reveal for later use. And this is especially going to be true early in the relationship, where they're going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out who you are, and it's going to feel really awesome to you at the time, but later it's going to come back and bite you. They will also do this throughout the relationship. For example, let's say you told the narcissist that you felt insecure about your weight. Well, in that case, the narcissist might later make discreet pokes at you about that. Or if you're in a romantic relationship, they might make comments about other people who are thinner than you. In any case, the narcissist is out to feel better than you and to make you doubt yourself at the same time. So they have an ultimate goal, and that is, as I said, to make you doubt yourself. So you become what? More dependent on the narcissist. That brings me to number two. You don't know your own mind anymore. Some narcissists are going to claim that they know what you or other people are thinking. If you actually deny that you're thinking the way they say you're thinking, the narcissist might say you're lying. And in some cases, they might even accuse you of lying to yourself. See, because of course, as narcissists, they can't possibly be wrong, so that must be the case. That brings me to number three. You don't know what's normal anymore. Listen, if you're regularly being told that things are normal when deep down you know for sure that they're not, you're probably getting gaslighted. For example, let's say your toxic boss says to you, hey, can you just lie to that client about the safety of that item so we don't have to give them a refund or whatever? Well, when you refuse, you might be told that all employees lie on behalf of their employers, and if you don't want to be a team player, maybe you need to go find a new job. That brings me to number four, you're diagnosed with major issues. That's because when a narcissist is lying to or manipulating you and they're not getting their way, what are they going to do? They're going to turn up that intensity by questioning your sanity. They might call you paranoid or stressed out or too sensitive or even hormonal. They might tell you that you need therapy or you need medicine or whatever to get through it. Again, it's all about them being in control. See, the narcissist is going to do or say anything they can to stay on top of the game. That brings me to number five. You start to doubt your own beliefs, your experiences, and your perceptions. Listen, if you're being told that what you know to be true is just not real, there's a problem. For example, let's say your narcissist mother tells you that your significant other is a loser and you need to dump them. Well, after a while, you might start to notice little things around the edges and you might start to believe it. And then you might end up sabotaging your relationship because you start to question your own judgment thanks to the regular conditioning that you got from your mother. That brings me to number six. You can't remember anything anymore. The narcissist is infamous for selective memory. So they're going to deny that they said something that upset you, especially if you confront them on it, sometimes right in the same moment. Or maybe they're going to promise to do something and later tell you that they never made that promise. I never said that. They might also use creative language to downplay their behavior and pretend like your reaction was totally out of line. And number seven, you might lie to keep the peace. By nature, you're not a liar, and in general, you are pretty honest in your life. But because of the extreme stress caused each time you anger or upset the narcissist, you might find yourself at least bending the truth a little in order to avoid the reaction of the narcissist that is sure to follow any discussion or situation that is against the narcissist's little rules. That brings me to number eight. You stop trying to be heard. As humans, we are programmed to share our experiences and our thoughts with the people in our lives. But when you are dealing with a narcissist and there are signs that you're being gaslighted, you might notice that you eventually kind of give up. You stop talking about yourself around the narcissist, and depending on the depth of your relationship with this person, you might even stop talking about yourself altogether. You might even forget how to talk about yourself. And you'll notice that because one day when someone asks you a question about yourself, you don't even know what to say. You forgot who you were. Sadly, that brings me to number nine. You start thinking maybe you really are the crazy one. The intensity of a narcissist manipulation tactics can really get to you. And when you are out there looking for a solution or just any way to end the argument or disagreement, you might find yourself convinced that the narcissist is right. And that there might really be things you could be doing better. And maybe you start to think that maybe the narcissist's behavior was a logical reaction to your mistakes. You ask yourself, am I really the one who owes them an apology? And then you apologize anyway, because that's the easiest thing to do. And when the narcissist, if the narcissist accepts your apology, they'll only do so long enough to hold on to it so they can throw it back in your face later. Which brings me to number 10, you're emotionally exhausted. As a narcissist wears you down, you're going to become depressed and anxious. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to always question yourself, and you're going to start to feel really hopeless. If you're in this situation, you might feel exhausted from the roller coaster ride you've been on with this narcissist. You might even think that you're just a little oversensitive, but that's because the narcissist is subjecting you to these tactics. You probably feel a little confused, and you start to think you're kind of out of it. You're disoriented. And thanks to all of those references to your paranoia and memory issues or whatever, you might find yourself seeking help for depression rather than the actual issue, the gaslighting narcissist in your life. Well, there are 12 common behaviors that spouses and partners of narcissists tend to report. They are as follows. Number one, it feels like you're the one doing most of the work in the relationship. Number two, your partner does things to sort of sabotage the relationship and prevent it from moving forward, but they don't want to let you go either. Number three, your partner has episodes of excessive and often unjustified anger, sometimes even infidelity, and he or she somehow makes it all your fault. Number four, the relationship is mostly focused around your partner's interests and activities, and when it's not, there will be an ugly outburst or argument. Number five, you feel controlled or manipulated by your partner's moods to the point that you might feel like you're walking on eggshells all the time, like you're a servant to the narcissist's whims. Number six, you might find yourself covering up, explaining, or apologizing for their behavior. Number seven, your partner might make one-sided decisions that impact your safety and well-being. Number eight, you might feel unsafe because of some of the actions that your partner takes. Number nine, your partner will refuse to see your good intentions, always blaming you for every situation, always making you admit you're wrong, even when that's not the case. Number 10, you sometimes find yourself desperately trying to remember the times when your partner showed love for you, when they acted like you could do no wrong, as is often the case in the early parts of the relationship when the love bombing is happening. Number 11, you feel emotionally exhausted, often completely drained by how hard you have to work to make or keep your partner happy. And number 12, your partner might have a history of troubled relationships and or addictions. Between the gaslighting, the love bombing, and the flying monkeys, you end up forgetting your own identity as you desperately try to become the version of yourself that might make the narcissist happy. But even if you manage to completely change and morph yourself into the narcissist's idea of the imagined perfect person, it never matters. Here's a painful truth for you, and I hope you take it in the spirit in which it is intended. You will never be enough for a narcissist. It's a harsh reality that we all have to understand. But when it comes to the narcissist and their perception of you, you can never be enough. Even if you completely focus every bit of your energy on that person, he or she will always look somewhere else for something else, anything to increase their own supply of attention. No matter how amazing you are, and you are amazing, it will never be enough for a narcissist because it's never been about you. Don't let yourself be confused here. It is not you. You are not the problem. It's absolutely not about you. It's about the way the narcissist's convoluted mind works. And you can't take personal responsibility for the broken person you're dealing with. You just have to find a way to self-confidence and peace outside of the narcissist. The fact is that since the narcissist is so personally broken on the inside, nobody on earth is ever going to fill the endless hole of need the narcissist carries around. At least not for long. There are so many manipulation tactics that most narcissists have in common that most of their victims say reading about the abuse that they've suffered can feel like reading their own stories, even when it's my story or your story. Their tactics are underhanded and sneaky and often undetectable. And yet, these tactics can sometimes be so definable that even a child can learn to recognize them. Narcissists can be incredibly painfully rude, mean, and even downright abusive in the way that they speak to you, treat you. But why is it so easy for them? What is it about these cluster B personalities or their disorders that allow them to treat people so horribly without even a second thought? Why are narcissists so cruel to you but so kind to others? Why does the narcissist show their charming side to strangers while you get stuck with having to put up with all the BS? Let's talk about it. Number one, familiarity breeds contempt for narcissists. It's simple, really. People who don't know the narcissist well are only going to see the nice, charming side because the narcissist can't trust if they'll feed their ego otherwise. But you, my friend, you have proven yourself to be a nice, reliable source of supply. And let's not forget the fact that you have, on occasion, had the nerve to attempt to get your own wants and needs met. Obviously, this would anger a narcissist and create resentment since they see you as an extension of themselves rather than a whole person. So if your needs and your wants aren't in line with what they believe they should be, well, there goes the resentment. It soars. And if there's so much resentment, well, then they no longer have a reason to share their charming side with you. In fact, they are abusive and cruel as a way to punish you for no longer feeding their ego by expressing that you have wants and needs as well. So remember that the narcissist is extremely egotistical, very entitled, and will do whatever they can to get what they want at your expense. This leads to their devaluing you, and in many cases can also lead to permanent or temporary discard, but we'll get to that in a minute. In any case, it isn't quite that simple. There are so many other factors to consider, which brings me to number two. They have no empathy. Really, the first and most obvious reason that narcissists are cruel to you is their lack of empathy. But why then are they able to be kind to other people who aren't you? Well, it shouldn't make sense, but for narcissists, it's all about the attention and the supply that they can get from other people. You might have become old news or too available to them. They see you regularly and they know you've seen behind the mask, so you can't fool them anymore. Others will still be enamored with their false selves. So it makes sense and makes it far more exciting for the narcissist to get supply from other people when they can. Now, we're going to dig a little deeper into this in just a minute, but for now, let's talk about the psychological component that everyone forgets. Number three, they won't take responsibility. In addition to the marked lack of empathy that narcissists display, they really have a hard time accepting emotional responsibility in any relationship. Therefore, they don't see any reason to be nice to you unless they can see a way that doing so benefits them directly. And while they won't take responsibility for their hurtful behavior, they also lack the ability to become truly attached to you in a healthy way, which further distances them emotionally. So when they're mean to you, when they're cruel to you, rather than acknowledging and admitting it and doing what they can to make up for it, narcissists will ignore you, or worse, get even crueler and start to say things like, "Can't you ever be happy?" and "Oh, look, here comes the dark cloud." And speaking of the inability to create healthy attachments, number four, they lack object constancy. Have you ever heard about the Freudian theory of object constancy? Freud's theory basically means that most people have the ability to still have a positive emotional bond with someone when they're feeling angry, hurt, or disappointed with them at the same time. In other words, your average person is capable of loving someone and still being angry with them at the same time. Narcissists don't have this ability. So they literally aren't able to love you and be angry in the same moment. So when they're angry with you, they can't love you. Simple. Number four, the preconditioning factor. You know the narcissist a little too well. The narcissist has spent months or years manipulating, controlling, and conditioning you to accept their abuse. As a result, you know them better than most people, and you're sadly pretty used to dealing with their behavior. This, in healthier relationships, is a good thing. But since you're already in the position of being a narcissistic supply, the narcissist feels comfortable with you. Lucky you, right? That means you're among the privileged few who get to see the true face of the narcissist. Wearing their mask or being their false self in public is exhausting, so when they're behind closed doors with a preconditioned supply, their true selves can come out and play. That also means you become their emotional dumpster, and they take out all of their feelings and trash, frustration and anger on you, even though for the most part, it's bottled up stuff that isn't related to you. Which brings me to number five, the idealization phase. Narcissists have a typical relationship cycle in which they begin by idealizing you, where they love bomb you and treat you like you're worth your weight in gold, you know, the pedestal. But inevitably, something happens and then they recognize that in fact you're a flawed human like everyone else, and gosh darn it, this is about the time they start to actively devalue you. Now at first, it'll be little subtle insults and jabs, but before long, they will be directly mean, disrespectful, and outright rude, which leads to the discard phase in which they abandon you either emotionally or actually, or both. This can take the form of the silent treatment, ghosting, or even actually ending the relationship. Worse, it can happen over and over for literally decades in the same relationship. And this, my friend, explains one more reason that narcissists are so cruel to you and kind to everyone else. Because they are, or could be, in the idealization phase with anyone they don't know very well at any given moment. And in many cases, people who do have the ability to set firm boundaries with the narcissist, at least from the beginning, they're automatically going to walk away if the narcissist gets too rude or disrespectful. And the narcissist knows it. So now that you know, where do you go from here? Well, you might feel like you're all alone when you're dealing with a narcissist in a toxic relationship. But the truth is that getting involved with these Jekyll and Hyde types is something that a lot of us go through at one time or another. Sometimes, though, we have to endure so much soul-numbing mental abuse from these people, and this type of abuse can have a powerfully and profoundly negative effect on us that can last an entire lifetime. After a painful episode of gaslighting or any number of other forms of narcissistic abuse, it's sometimes very difficult to bounce back from the mental abuse that you've had to endure. It's torture, and your self-esteem plummets because of it. Not only that, the torturous mental abuse you were subjected to by a narcissist is usually an attack on your personal character, an emotional assault committed all too often by these people. They need to make you feel worthless and insecure, but you don't always understand why. I mean, the truth is that you would be their biggest fan if they would just allow it, right? So why does a narcissist want and need to make you feel worthless and desperate? It's basic NPD 101. The narcissist's intent, whether they realize this or not, is not to gain control and boost their own ego. The narcissist wants you to have low self-esteem so you won't be able to think for yourself. In an ideal situation, when you first recognize this, that's the time to go no contact. The truth is that getting out of a toxic relationship like that is the first step you actually need to take in order to save your own sanity. But sometimes no contact isn't an option. It's not possible. So what are you supposed to do then? Well, you start planning and figuring out what you're going to do. But in the meantime, you learn how to deal with it. You learn how to get through it. So I'm going to give you a few tips right now to help you do exactly that. Now, there are some other things you're going to need to do to recover fully from the gaslighting, manipulation, and mental abuse that you are experiencing now or that you have experienced before. Remember that it's important to stay active. Now, tip number one is start by getting back to your life. So get out and do things with your family or your friends, because remember that an abuser loves to alienate you from your loved ones. Number two, keep your mind focused on other things so that you don't isolate yourself at home and become dependent on that negative person who's feeding into your self-esteem issues. I have found that focusing on what I can control as opposed to things that are beyond my control is especially helpful. You have to change your mind to change your life. Number three, call your friends, read uplifting books, or concentrate on a project like redecorating your house or a room in your house. Number four, do whatever it takes to keep going. If you have a job, continue to work and take note of your goals and achievements. If you don't have a job, maybe look for one or start your own business. Working can get your mind off of your problems and give you the necessary affirmation that you can do whatever you put your mind to. And it reminds you you're not worthless. Number five, avoid jumping into other relationships until you're fully healed emotionally. This is because you're more likely to fall for other toxic partners who are just like your ex if you're not careful. You don't want to get in the same situation as before and repeat this cycle in your life. Number six, don't waste time on thoughts about your ex, whether they're negative or positive. Some people make the mistake of spending a lot of time focused on their thoughts of how much they hate their former partner or how much they wish they could get revenge or how much they love their former partner, and none of that is helpful. Once you get through the initial few weeks or months, start focusing on yourself instead. Number seven, release the anger and focus on what's important. And that's you. Did I mention that? It's time to move forward with your life. So don't be afraid to seek some professional help. Whether you're looking for a coach or a therapist, you want someone who can help you work through your feelings and help you build your self-esteem back up. Don't let a toxic relationship break your spirit. You can get out there and you can take back your life. Now, I do offer coaching. You can go to queenbeing.com/coaches. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, are you in a relationship with a narcissist or have you been in one before? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.